The Bottle Imp by Robert Louis Stevenson. Dramatized by Donald Johnson, with David Rintoul and Tony Asoba.
Keawe was a man of the island of Hawaii. He was poor and brave and a first-rate mariner. It came in his mind to have a sight of the great world and foreign cities, and he shipped on a vessel bound for San Francisco. This is a fine town, and in it there is one hill which is covered with palaces. One day, Keawe was taking a walk on this hill, and he stopped to admire one particularly beautiful house. He became aware that through a window, a man was looking at him.
This is a fine house of mine. Would you care to view it?
Gladly.
So the man led Keawe all over the house, from cellar to roof.
Truly, this is a beautiful house. If I lived in the like of it, I should be laughing all day long. Mm. How comes it, then, that you seem so sorrowful?
Oh, there's no reason why you should not have a house in all points similar to this. You have some money, I suppose.
I have $50, but a house like this will cost more than $50.
Oh, I'm sorry you have no more, for it may raise you trouble in the future. But it shall be yours at $50.
The house?
No, not the house, but the bottle. For I must tell you, all that I possess came out of a bottle not much bigger than a pint. This is it.
Out of that bottle?
Oh, you do not believe me. Then see if you can break it.
So Keawe took the bottle up and dashed it to the floor. But it jumped like a child's toy and would not break.
This is a strange thing. For by the touch of it, as well as by the look, this bottle should be made of glass.
Oh, glass it is. But glass that was tempered in the flames of hell. An imp lives in it. Now look carefully, and now you will see him moving like a fiery shadow. If any man buy this bottle, the imp is at his command. All that he desires, love, fame, money, all are his at the word uttered. Napoleon had this bottle. And by it he grew to be king of the world. But he sold it at the last and fell. For once it is sold, the power goes and the protection, and unless a man remains content with what he has got, ill will befall him.
And yet you talk of selling it yourself.
Well, I have all I wish, and I'm growing elderly. There is one thing the imp cannot do. He cannot prolong life. And I cannot hide from you that there is a drawback to the bottle. For if a man die before he sells it, he must burn in hell forever.
That is a drawback and no mistake. Well, I would not care to meddle with such a thing.
Do not be afraid. All you have to do is use the power of the imp in moderation, and then sell it to someone else and finish your life in comfort.
I observe two things. One, that you are sorrowful. The other, that you sell this bottle very cheap.
Well, I've told you already why I am sorrowful. It is because I fear my health is breaking up, and to die and go to the devil is a pity for anyone. As for why I sell so cheap, I must explain to you there is a peculiarity about the bottle. Long ago, when the devil brought it first upon earth, it was sold to Prester John for many millions of dollars, but cannot be sold again unless sold at a loss. If you sell it for as much as you paid for it, back it comes to you again like a homing pigeon. It follows that the price has kept falling in all these centuries, and the bottle is now remarkably cheap.
How am I to know all this is true?
Give me your $50. Take the bottle, and wish your $50 back in your pocket. If that does not happen, I pledge you my honor. I will pry off the bargain and restore your money.
Well, I will risk that much, for that can do no harm.
And Keawe exchanged his $50 for the bottle.
Imp of the bottle, give me my $50 back.
Now, put your hand in your pocket.
It's true. My $50 have returned. To be sure, this is indeed a wonderful bottle.
And now, good morning to you, my fine fellow. And the devil go with you.
Hold on. I don't want any more of this business. Here, take your bottle back.
Oh, you've bought it for less than I paid for it. It is yours now, and for my part, I'm only concerned to see the back of you.
Now, when Keawe was in the street, he began to think.
If all is true about this bottle, I may have made a losing bargain.
So Keawe set the bottle in the gutter and walked away. But he had scarce done so when something knocked upon his elbow. And behold, it was the long neck of the bottle sticking up from the pocket of his pilot coat. And Keawe began to be afraid. So he took the bottle to a curio shop on the waterfront, and there he sold it for $45 and returned to his ship light of heart. But when he went to his quarters and opened his chest, there was the bottle. Now, Keawe had a mate on board whose name was Lepaka.
What ails you that you stare in your chest?
They were alone in the forecastle, and Keawe bound him to secrecy and told him all.
And now I have sold the bottle for less than I paid for it, yet still it has returned to me.
Perhaps because you did not warn the man that you sold it to of the conditions of sale and the risk that he ran.
Can that be the reason?
The devil has his own morality, and the bottle has its own rules.
What shall I do?
Take your profit. Make up your mind what you want. And if it is done as you desire, I will buy the bottle from you for myself. For I have an idea of my own to get a schooner and go trading through the islands.
That is not my idea. But to have a beautiful house and garden on the Kona coast where I was born, and to live there without care and make merry with my friends.
Upon that they were agreed. And it was not long before their ship returned to Honolulu. There they met a friend upon the beach, who began at once to condole with Keawe.
What has happened? What am I to be condoled about?
Is it possible you've not heard? Your uncle, that good old man, is dead.
Had not your uncle lands in Hawaii?
Yes, on the mountainside, a little beside South Hawaiian.
These lands will now be yours.
And so they will.
How if this should be the doing of the bottle? For here is the place ready for your house.
If this be so, it is a very ill way to serve me by killing my relatives. But it may be indeed. For it was in just such a place that I saw the house with my mind's eye.
Let us go to the lawyer.
Now, when they came to the lawyer's, they learned that Keawe's uncle had grown monstrous rich in the last days.
Now you have the money for the house.
And the lawyer was ready with advice.
If you're thinking of a new house, here's the card of a new architect of whom they tell me great things.
So they went to the architect, who had a drawing of a house on his table. And when Keawe set eyes on the drawing, he cried out aloud.
Ah, it is the very picture of my thought, exactly drawn. Little as I like the way it comes to me, it is quite clear that I am to have this house, whether or no. It comes from the devil, and I fear I will get little good by that. But of one thing I am sure, I will make no more wishes as long as I have this bottle. But with the house I am saddled, and I may as well take the good along with the evil.
So Keawe and Lepaka took ship again and sailed to Australia, and when they returned, the house was ready. It stood on the mountainside, visible to ships. Above, the forests ran up into the clouds of rain. Below, a garden bloomed about that house with every hue of flowers. And there was an orchard of papaya on the one hand, and an orchard of breadfruit on the other, and right in front, towards the sea, a ship's mast had been rigged up and bore a flag. The house was 3 stories high, with great chambers and broad balconies on each.
Well, is it all as you designed?
Words cannot utter it. It is better than I dreamed, and I am sick with satisfaction.
There is but one thing to consider. All this may be quite natural, and the bottle imp have nothing whatsoever to do with it. If I were to buy the bottle, and got no schooner after all, I should have put my hand in the fire for nothing. I think you would not grudge me one more proof.
I have sworn I would ask no more favours of the imp. I have already gone deep enough.
This is no favour I am thinking of. It is only to see the imp himself. If I once saw him, I should be sure of the whole matter. I will buy the bottle.
Very well. I have a curiosity myself. So come. Let us have a look at you, Mr. Imp.
Now, as soon as that was said, the imp looked out of the bottle and in again, swift as a lizard. And there sat Keawe and Lepaka, turned to stone.
Well, I shall get my schooner and a dollar or two for my pocket, and then I will be rid of this devil as fast as I can.
Lepaka, do not you think any worse of me than you can help. But I declare, since I have seen that little face, I cannot eat or sleep or pray till it is gone from me. I will give you a lantern and a basket to put the bottle in and ask you to be gone at once.
Keawe, many a man would take this ill. Above all, when I'm doing you a turn so friendly as to buy the bottle. But for my part, I am so terrified myself, I have not the heart to blame you. Here, I go then, and I pray God you may be happy in your house, and I fortunate with my schooner, and both get to heaven in the end, in spite of the devil and his bottle.
So Lopaka went down the mountain, and Keawe trembled and clasped his hands.
Now I pray for my friend, and give glory to God that I myself am escaped out of that trouble.
So time went by, and the new house was so delightful that Keawe forgot his terrors and lived in perpetual joy.
This house I shall call the Bright House, and so it shall be known throughout all the islands.
Now one day Keawe went upon a visit to friends who lived far away, and on his return, as he rode by the sea, he espied a woman bathing. Then he saw her white shift flutter as she put it on, and by the time he came abreast of her, she was all freshened with the bath, and her eyes shone and were kind.
I thought I knew everyone in this country. How comes it that I do not know you?
I am Kokua, daughter of Kiano. And who are you?
I will tell you who I am in a little, but not now. Tell me, first of all, one thing. Are you married?
Why do you ask? Are you married yourself?
Indeed, Kokua, I am not, and never thought to be until this hour. But there is the plain truth. I have met you here by the roadside, and I saw your eyes, which are like the stars, and my heart went to you, swift as a bird. And so now, if you want none of me, say so, and I will go on to my own place. But if you think me no worse than any other young man, say so too, and I will turn aside to your father's for the night, and tomorrow I will talk with the good man. Kokua, if you say nothing, I will take that for the good answer. So let us be stepping to your father's door.
Now when they had come to the door, Kokua's father cried out and welcomed Keawe by name. At that, the girl's eyes opened wide, for the fame of Keawe and his bright house was known to everyone. All that evening they were merry together, and the next day Keawe had a word with her father, and then met the girl alone.
Kokua, I would not tell you who I was, because I have so fine a house, and I feared you would think too much of that house and too little of the man who loves you. Now you know all, and if you wish to have seen the last of me, say so at once.
No, I do not wish that.
This time Kokua did not laugh, nor did Keawe ask for more. This was the wooing of Keawe. Things had gone quickly, but so an arrow goes, and the ball of a rifle swifter still, and yet both may strike the target. Keawe was singing when he came home to the bright house. He had the Chinaman, who was his servant, heat water for his bath, and the Chinaman heard him sing as he filled the marble basin and undressed, until, of a sudden, the song ceased.
Master? Is all well with you?
Yes. Go to bed.
But there was no more singing in the bright house. Now the truth of it was this. As Keawe undressed for his bath, he spied upon his flesh a patch, like a patch of lichen upon a rock. And it was then that he stopped singing, for he knew that he was fallen into leprosy.
Now I must go to live on Molokai, the island where only lepers live, and end my days there among the afflicted. But what wrong have I done? What sin lies upon my soul that I should have encountered Kokua only to lose her? For her may I never wed, or touch with my loving hand, or look upon longer.
That night he could not sleep, and in the night he bethought him of the bottle.
A dreadful thing is the bottle, and dreadful is the imp, and it is a dreadful thing to risk the flames of hell. But what other hope do I have to cure my sickness or to wed Kokua? Would I dare the devil once only to get a house and not face him again to win Kokua?
The very next day, Keawe went to Honolulu and sought out Lopaka.
Are you well, Lopaka?
I am well, Keawe.
And has the imp of the bottle given you all that your heart desired?
All and more. The finest schooner in the islands, and a shining house in Waikiki.
So you have no further use for the bottle of the imp?
No more, thank God.
Then I shall ask you to sell it back to me.
And Keawe explained what had come to pass, and Lopaka grieved.
Alas, Keawe, I have sold the bottle long since.
And he named the man's name, and Keawe sought him out, but he too had sold the bottle. And now, for many days, Keawe travelled through the islands, finding everywhere new clothes and carriages, and fine new houses, and men everywhere in great contentment. So it befell at last. He came to a fine new house, and when he saw the owner, a shock of hope and fear ran through Keawe, for here was a young man, white as a corpse and black about the eyes, the hair shedding from his head, and such a look in his countenance as a man may have when he is waiting for the gallows.
I am come to buy the bottle.
The bottle. To buy the bottle.
What is the price now?
It has dropped a great deal in value.
Well, I shall have to pay the less for it. How much did it cost you?
2 cents.
What? 2 cents? Why, then you can only sell it for one. And he who buys it...
The words died upon Keawe's tongue. He who bought it could never sell it again. The bottle and the bottle imp must abide with him until he died, and when he died must carry him to the red end of hell.
For God's sake, buy it. You can have all my fortune into the bargain. I was mad when I bought it at that price. I'd embezzled money at my store. I must have gone to jail.
Poor creature, you would risk your soul to avoid the proper punishment of your own disgrace, and you think I could hesitate with love to spur me on? Give me the bottle. And the change, which I am sure you have already. Here is a 5-cent piece.
It was as Keawe supposed. The young man had the change ready in a drawer. The bottle changed hands, and Keawe's fingers were no sooner clasped round it than he breathed his wish to be a free man. And sure enough, when he got home to his room and stripped himself, his flesh was whole like an infant's. And so he returned to the bright house, and there he was wedded to Kukua with great feasting and songs and music. Now it was so with these two that when they were together, Keawe's heart was stilled. But as soon as he was alone, he fell into a brooding horror and heard the flames crackle and saw the red fire burn in the bottomless pit. As for Kukua, at first she was full of joy to be wedded to Keawe, but after a little while her feet began to be heavy and her songs more rare. And then there came a day when Keawe found her rolling her face upon the balcony floor and weeping like the lost.
You do well to weep in this house, Kokua. And yet I will give the head off my body that you at least might have been happy.
Happy? Keawe, when you lived alone in your bright house, you were the word of the island for a happy man. Then you wedded poor Kokua. And the good God knows what is amiss in her. But from that day you have not smiled. What ails me that I throw this cloud upon my husband?
Poor Kukua, my poor child, my pretty. And I had thought all this while to spare you. Well, you shall know all. Then at least you will pity poor Keawe. Then you will understand how much he loved you in the past, that he dared hell so that he could make you his. And how much he loves you still.
With that... He told her all, even from the beginning.
You have done this for me? Oh, well then, what cares have I?
Ah, child, and yet when I consider the fire of hell, I care a good deal.
No man can be lost because he loved Kokua, and no other fault. I tell you, Keawe, I shall save you with these hands or perish in your company. What? You loved me and gave your soul, and you think I will not die to save you in return?
Oh, my dear, you might die 100 times, and what difference would that make, except to leave me lonely till the time comes for my damnation?
Oh, you know nothing. What is this you say about a cent? But all the world is not America. In France they have a small coin they call a centime, and these go 5 to the cent or thereabout. Come, Keawe. Let us go to the French islands. Let us go to Tahiti. There the bottle can be sold for 4 centimes, or 3, or 2, or 1. Come, my Keawe. Kiss me and banish care. Kokua will defend you.
Kokua, you are a gift of God. Be it as you will. I put my life and my salvation in your hands.
So they went to Papeete, the chief place of the French in the South Islands, and they began to push the bottle. But it is not easy to persuade people you are in earnest when you offer to sell them for 4 centimes the spring of health and riches inexhaustible. Try as they might, they could not rid themselves of the bottle. One night of strong wind, Kokua awoke and found that Keawe was gone. She looked forth into the moonlit yard. There, under the banana tree, lay Keawe, his mouth in the dust, and as he lay, he moaned.
Heaven, how weak I have been! It is for my sake that he now beholds so close to him the flames of hell. Oh, am I so dull of spirit that never till now have I clearly seen my duty? But now at least I take up my soul in both the hands of my affection. A love for a love, and let mine be equaled with Keawe's. A soul for a soul, and be it mine to perish.
She dressed and went forth. The town slept, and she knew not whither to turn till she heard one coughing in the shadow of a tree.
Old man, what do you do here abroad in the cold night?
Oh, I am a poor man and a stranger in this island, and I have nowhere to rest my head.
Will you do me a service? As one stranger to another, will you help the daughter of Hawaii?
Ah, so you are the witch from the Eight Islands, and even my old soul you seek to entangle. But I have heard of you and defy your wickedness.
Sit down here, and let me tell you a tale.
And she told him the story of Keawe from beginning to end.
And now I am his wife, whom he bought with his soul's welfare. And what should I do? If I went to him myself and offered to buy it, he would refuse. But if you go, he will sell it eagerly. I will await you here. You will buy it for 4 centimes, and I will buy it again for 3. And the Lord strengthen a poor girl.
If you mean falsely, I think God will strike you dead.
He will, be sure he will. I could not be so treacherous. God would not suffer it.
Give me 4 centimes and await me here.
Now when Kokua stood alone in the street, her spirit died. The wind roared in the trees, and it seemed to her the rushing of the flames of hell. Then she saw the old man returning, and he had the bottle in his hand.
I have done your bidding. I left your husband weeping like a child. Tonight he will sleep easy.
Before you give me the bottle, take the good with the evil. Ask to be delivered from your cough.
Oh, I am an old man, and too near the gate of the grave to take favor from the devil. But what is this? Why do you not take the bottle? Do you hesitate?
I am only weak. Give me a moment. My flesh shrinks back from the accursed thing. One moment only.
Oh, your poor child. Let me keep the bottle. I am old and can never more be happy in this world. And as for the next...
Oh, give it to me. There is your money. Do you think I am so base as that? Give me the bottle. Oh,
God bless you, child.
Kokua returned to the house, where she found Keawe slumbering like a child.
Now, my husband, it is your turn to sleep. When you wake, it will be your turn to sing and laugh. But for poor Kokua, alas, no more delight, whether in earth or heaven.
Late in the morning, her husband woke her and gave her the good news. It seemed he was silly with delight, for he paid no heed to her distress, ill though she dissembled it.
A worthy old man he seemed, but no one can judge by appearances. For why did the old reprobate require the bottle?
My husband, his purpose may have been good.
Claptrap! An old rogue, I tell you, and an old ass to boot! For the bottle was hard enough to sell at 4 centimes, and at 3 it will be quite impossible. The margin is not wide enough, and the thing begins to smell of scorching. Oh, whoever has that bottle now will carry it to the pit.
Oh, my husband, is it not a terrible thing to save oneself by the eternal ruin of another? I'm filled with melancholy. I pray for the poor holder.
Hoity-toity! You may be filled with melancholy if you please. It is not the mind of a good wife. If you thought at all of me, you would sit shame.
My husband, I am ill. Excuse me, I am out of heart.
Then was Keawe more wroth than ever, with her because he thought she was brooding over the fate of the old man, and with himself because he knew she was right, and he was ashamed to be so happy.
This is your truth, and this your affection. Your husband is just saved from eternal ruin, which he encountered for the love of you, and you can take no pleasure. Kokua, you have a disloyal heart.
He went forth furious and wandered in the town and began drinking. Now there was an old brutal white man drinking with him, one that had been a boatswain of a whaler, a digger in gold mines, a convict in prisons. He had a low mind and a foul mouth, and he pressed drink upon Keawe. Soon their pockets were empty.
Here you. You're always saying you're rich. You have a trick bottle or some such foolishness.
Yes, I am rich. I'll go back and get some money from my wife, who looks after it.
That's a bad idea, matey. Never trust a petticoat with dollars. They're all as false as water.
Now, this word stuck in Keawe's mind, for he was muddled with drink.
I should not wonder, but she was false indeed. Why else should she be so cast down at my deliverance? But I will show her I'm not a man to be fooled. I will catch her in the act.
And so, when Keawe got back to his house, he crept very quietly in, and there he saw Kukua on the floor, the lamp at her side. Before her was a milk-white bottle with a round belly and a long neck, and as she viewed it, Kukua wrung her hands and wept. A long time Keawe stood and looked in the doorway. Fear fell on him that the bargain had been made amiss, and the bottle had come back to him, as it had on board his ship in San Francisco. And then he had another thought, even more terrible.
I must make sure of this.
So he softly went out of the house, and then came noisily in, as though he were but now returned. And lo, by the time he opened the door, no bottle was to be seen, and Kukua started up, like one awakened out of sleep.
I have been drinking with good companions, and now I only come back for money, and will return to drink with them again.
And he went straight to the chest and took out money, but there was no bottle in the chest, and he knew that Kukua had hidden it.
It is what I feared. It is she who has bought it.
Kukua, I said to you today what ill became me. Now I return to drink with my jolly companions. I will take more pleasure in the cup if you will forgive me.
Oh, I ask but a kind word.
Let us never one think badly of the other.
At the corner, the boatswain was waiting.
My wife has the bottle, and unless you help me recover it, there can be no more money and no more liquor tonight.
You don't mean to say you're serious about that damn bottle?
Do I look as if I was jesting?
No, you look as serious as a ghost.
Well then, here are two centimes. You just go to my wife in the house and offer her these for the bottle, which I am quite sure she will give you instantly. Bring it to me here, and I will buy it back from you for one centime. For that is the law with this bottle, that it still must be sold for a less sum. But whatever you do, never breathe a word to her that you have come from me.
Lady, I wonder if you're making a fool out of me.
If you doubt me, you can put it to the test. As soon as you are clear of the house, wish to have your pocket full of money, and you will see the virtue of the thing.
Very well, I will try. But if you're having your fun out of me, I will take my fun out of you with a belaying pin.
So the whaler man went off up the avenue. It seemed a long time that Keawe waited before he heard him return. The sailor had the devil's bottle in one hand and the bottle of rum in the other.
In the morning.
You have it, then?
Aye, and money in my pocket.
Then I will buy the bottle back from you.
Huh? Buy it back?
Here is the one centime, as we agreed.
You take me for a fool.
You would be a fool not to rid yourself of the bottle while you still have the chance.
Why should I ever want to get rid of such a nice little bottle as this?
Because of what I told you about the devil.
The devil take the devil.
I must remind you, if you still have the bottle when you die, your soul will go straight to hell.
What do I care about that? I'm a bloody British sailor, and there's nothing I'm afraid of. Besides, I'm bound for hell when I die, with or without the help of your bottle. And where else should I go to be with all my old friends and mateys again? They're all down there waiting for me.
Well, good luck to you.
Will you wish me good health?
I wish you good night.
Well, then I'll drink on my own. Ha ha! 15 men and a dead man, sir.
But Keawe ran to Kukua light as the wind, and great was their joy that night. And great, since then, has been the peace of their days in the bright house on the Kona beach in the island of Hawaii.
The Bottle Imp by Robert Louis Stevenson, dramatized by Donald Johnson, was narrated by David Rintoul. With Tony Asoba as Keawe, Nina Wadia as Kokua, Ian Masters as Lopaka, Peter Whitman as the American and the Old Man, Don McCorkindale as the Bosun, and Malcolm Ward as the Young Man. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.